This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello, welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host, Del, and I've got two co-hosts with me tonight. First of all, the host of the One Up Front 4231 podcast, it's E-Man. How you doing, Geezer?
I'm doing all right, Stel. I'm doing all right, man. Thanks for having me on, man.
It's an absolute pleasure, man. It's been a while. How you been?
Yeah, I've been all right, man. Just cracking on with my own pod, changing up a few things here and there. But yes, it's been good, man. Just constantly getting out shows and stuff. So
I'm halfway through your most recent one, and it's a very good listen. It's a very good listen. I like the new format. It's brilliant. You got them within your round table or your rectangular table, whatever size you're recording.
you're coming on soon, man.
I can't wait. I'll bring my best voice and my Lemsip as well, just in case I fall. Now that little laugh you heard in the background is none other than Kojo from the One Up Front. No, what am I talking about? The Three Midfield podcast. Sorry, man. Oh, well, call you One Up Front. Listen, we're all one.
I was on One Up Front recently anyway, so, you know, I'll take that.
There you go. We're all one big family. Sorry, man. Sorry, Cahill. I know he's...
That's what I was going to say. It's a big family.
It's a big family, man. Nothing incestuous going on. This isn't the Nevilles. Don't worry. So, Kojo, how you doing, mate? You right?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me again. I always love doing Shoot the Defence, so thanks for having me again, bro.
Thank you. I thought you were going to call it Sofa Sports News for a second. Getting the podcast wrong tonight. It's all right. It's all right. Right, gentlemen, we are here to list our all-time African Premier League 11. Now, I didn't tell you this one stipulation. You cannot name a player that was great before they joined the Premier League. Now, if you were going to go for strikers, I know Samuel Eto'o and George Weah would win hands down. They would win. But let's be honest, when Eto'o came to the Premier League, he wasn't great. And George Weah, well, you know what the song says, he thought they played in red. So George Weah didn't have a great time at Chelsea or Sete. Eto'o was all right at Chelsea, but at Everton, he wasn't. He was poop, wasn't he? So we'll rule out any players that were great. Now, I don't know if you want to add a certain Nigerian midfielder that was at Bolton, but we'll go into that one in just a bit. So shall we begin with goalkeepers? Because let's be 100% honest, there was only really two African goalkeepers that I can remember anyway that played in the Premier League, and they both of them didn't really set it on fire. There's Richard Kingston. That was, I believe, was at Blackpool,
I think? Wigan.
At Wigan? Was it Wigan?
Yeah. No, it was at Blackpool. Blackpool.
And there was Bruce Grobbelaar, who was at Liverpool, and obviously he was at that great Liverpool side, but in the Premier League, he wasn't fantastic. I know he had a spell at Southampton when he came back from his... I think he was banned for match fixing. But in terms of goalkeepers, I can't really think of any other African goalkeepers, to be fair. Can you guys think of anyone?
No, I was lost when I was thinking myself. Kingston was in my head, but I tried not to mention him because he was quite rubbish. I guess because Grobbelaar in Premier League history, he wasn't great, but his overall history is quite good. If you ask me who's better out of the two, I mean, that's a no-brainer, really. I'm going Grobbelaar for that one.
Yes, it's a weird one with African keepers because there have been obviously a lot in Spain and in the Dutch leagues and stuff like that, but just none have really come over here. But I was thinking about one and I was being stupid, but I chose Steve Mandanda, but obviously he's not African. But and he was only in the Premier League for one season. He just basically went back to Marseille. But yeah, there's no other African goalkeepers that came into the Premier League.
See, this is the thing. This is the mistake that some of our listeners are going to make. They're going to say, well, can you add Patrick Vieira? No. He came from Senegal, he represented France. And that's the other caveat, so to speak. We're not going to go for, say, Rami Shaban because, you know, he was Swedish, even though he was Egyptian descent. So we can't go for Rami Shaban in goal. So effectively, it's only Bruce Grobbelaar and and Richard Kingston, that's not really great, is it? Lads, you guys are from that culture, from that background. Why do you think there aren't that many great African goalkeepers? We know about the outfield players, but from a goalkeeping standpoint, there aren't really any that, I say, stand out historically in African football.
Yeah, I think it's just maybe that it's similar to how everything is in the playground, really. Like, it's just not a desired position. And if you look at quite a lot of African players, like, they are, in a sense, our frame, our structure physically is built for, you know, we're quite good at running and, you know, quite physical and stuff like that. But as a goalkeeper, you need to be maybe slender, be a bit more flexible. And I just don't think a lot of African goalkeepers, generally, not many of them are actually that good, if we're being real. I mean, Nigeria had a really good keeper years back, Enyema, who was quite good. But all throughout my youth and watching like Nigeria in several competitions, he was the only good goalkeeper that we ever had. And all the way up until last year's World Cup, there were calls to try to bring him back. But yeah, it was never going to happen. But I just don't think, yeah, goalkeepers are not desired, and I just think their physique, with most African frames, it just, yeah, I think flexibility is key, and yeah, they just don't have it.
Well, Koja, I mean, there's a couple of good goalkeepers out there at the moment. There's Kameni, who's at Fenerbahce, did really well at Espanyol, and Onana, who's at Ajax.
Yep.
So, and you can count the Tunisian goalkeeper, the Moroccan goalkeeper, but for, you know, Ghana, they've had some pretty decent players, again, outfield players, but from a goalkeeping perspective, again, similar sort of thing, really.
Yeah, so I haven't been to Ghana before and seen all, like, sometimes we'd go to different cities and go and see different clubs and go to training. I mean, when you're from England, they allow you to do pretty much what you want, so it's... oh yeah, come and see this, and also you come doing coaching, so they allow me to go and see one or two things. The goalkeeping quality is poor. You tend to find out that a lot of players settle to be goalkeepers because they weren't good enough to be a starting defender or something like that. So they try and hone their craft in goalkeeping, but they are not of the level which you require to make it in maybe a much higher league. Compared to outfield players, you know, Essien, for example, Essien wasn't playing in Ghana for long before he got picked up and he went to Europe.
Yep.
So, I think Iman was right with the playground thing. It's that whole playground thing, you know. You get picked by teams and then you get the guy that's not the best and you say, yeah, you go in goal today and we'll stick in goal and then we'll swap goalies, but you don't really swap goalies, you just leave the guy in there because you don't want him on the pitch. That's what it becomes, and it's quite disappointing, really.
Yeah, I see your point. But then again, I mean, when, as I said before, when you want to mention those goalkeepers, they're probably paving the way for other goalkeepers to come from Africa. Do you know what I mean? They're probably seeing these guys and like, hang about, well, we're good between the sticks as well, you know? So it might influence a lot of youngsters that to want to get in goal and, you know, not want to do some skills like Wolf Zaha, so to speak. I had to mention Wolf Zaha because I know you love him so much. So I guess we're going to go with Bruce Gobbelaar, right?
Yeah.
Just for the longevity, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fair enough. Right back. Now there's a whole host of them. Is there one that stands out, or shall we just go through the ones that we can recollect?
Yeah, I think let's go through the ones that we've got and see what we can pick up.
Yeah, okay, go on. Anyone?
I'll go with Lauren. Mm-hmm. I thought Lauren was quite good at Arsenal. I think he made over 150 appearances for Arsenal, part of the Invincible squad. And I mean, obviously he had some calamitous moments. I think there was that own goal versus Manchester City. But generally, I thought Lauren was a solid centre-back, defensively and offensively as well. So
yeah, that's a good shout. I think that's probably one that I would have gone with, to be fair. But we've had other ones, I think. Wasn't Ferdinand Colley a right-back? The Senegalese one, or was he a central defender?
I think he was a centre-back, wasn't he?
Centre-back? Okay. Okay.
I believe it was a centre-back.
I stand corrected. There was Trabelsi. I believe he was at Man City for a bit. He came from Ajax, but again, he was pretty decent at Ajax.
I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Is it Hatem Trabelsi?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. That's the one. But again, full-backs, it's few and far between. Can you think of any, Kojo, right-back?
No, Lauren was my pick. He wins it hands down. He was... he's actually my favourite Premier League right back after Ivanovic.
Okay.
Yeah. I just used to love his grace on the ball. I thought he was great going forward, especially defensively, he was great. And technically, he was really good as well. I think that's a bit of his play that was quite underrated. And he was a very key member of the Arsenal team. A lot of people don't talk about him, especially Arsenal fans, which is quite annoying. They talk about Kieran more than him, which I don't know. Yeah, but I loved Lauren. I loved watching him play football. He was... not going to lie, when I started playing football as a kid, I know I used to play as a... just behind the striker, but when I started watching Lauren, I started playing... because I'm left-footed, I went to go left-back instead, so I tried to copy him at left-back. It didn't particularly go well, but he was an inspiration to me, so yeah, Lauren is my guy.
He was a central midfielder at Mallorca before he joined Arsenal, and... as Arsene Wenger was very good at doing, converting players into different positions. I think Petit was actually a left back when he signed from Monaco, and then he converted him into a central midfielder. So Wenger was very, very good at doing that. I can't really think of any other right back myself, to be fair.
There's one up. Well, he did play right back, but he is a centre back. But he wasn't that great. But Rigobert Song used to play right back.
Yeah, that's right.
But for Liverpool and West Ham. But yeah, he didn't have a lot of appearances. So maybe he probably won't win this one. But I thought he could be a nice a little bit of an honourable mention.
That's right.
Where was Abel Xavier from?
He was Portuguese.
Portuguese, yeah.
Oh right. So, okay.
Yeah.
He conceded that penalty at Euro 2000, I think, against the French handball.
Ah, okay.
It was that one. I mean, there was Timothy Atuba at Spurs. He was a right back.
But
He was
awful,
man.
He was so bad.
Was Chimbonda French?
Chimbonda was French, yep. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you one. I know that he played central midfield, but he did slot in at right back sometimes. Remember Jeremy?
Ooh.
Yeah. That's a good shout, actually.
That's a good shout.
He was fantastic.
Ooh. I remember I met Jeremy on the way back from my honeymoon in 2013 in Paris. He was actually flying. I just spotted him. I was like, "You're Jeremy, right?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he just shook my hand. So, yeah.
don't say it loud. Don't say it loud.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 4 years at Real Madrid. You know, let's be honest. And this was around about the time when I think he joined in '99. I think. And
He won the Champions League with them, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he wasn't a mug, you know. He played for Middlesbrough. He played for Chelsea. He played for Newcastle.
Yeah.
He did well, so I don't know, man. Maybe if we're talking about a potential, I don't know, even I don't know, maybe you know, get him on the subs bench or.
Yeah, well, the thing is, probably because Lauren played there all the time, but then Jeremy played for quite a few good clubs for a longer period of time.
Yep.
God, it's a tough one. Isn't it?
So yeah, so it's either Lauren or Jeremy's compatriot. It's a difficult one. I think we might have to go back to that one.
Definitely.
Are we going to go 4-4-2 or what system do you reckon shall we play anyway?
Let's play
3-3. I've gone 4-3-3.
Gone 4-3-3, okay.
What have you gone, Kojo?
I'm waiting for that 3 midfield as well.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go with the majority. I was going to go 4-4-2, but with a diamond. But you know what? Let's go 4-3-3 anyway, because yeah, I think that there's a lot of central midfielders and a lot of midfielders, you know, in that region that we can really reel off a list. Whereas a striker is probably not as many. So yeah, this would be an interesting one. Okay, left back for me. I think there's only one player that can play that position, and it's Baba Yaro.
Yes.
Yes. I've got him down.
absolutely.
He was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So reliable. Another 8 out of 10 performer week in, week out. Really put a foot wrong. I think he's the overwhelming choice, isn't he? He's got to be, surely.
Yeah, he was great.
But in terms of other left backs, did Obue play left back? Was he a right back?
He was right.
Oh, right back.
That's the one we forgot then.
Oh man.
See, they're all coming out now.
Well, just because we've got a contentious one with with the right back situation, should we flick Obue to the left?
We know
he's not going to compete with Babayaro.
We could do, but then again, we're going back to right backs. Are we going to mention Victor Moses here because he played right wing back?
Wing back.
No time for him.
Oh, fair enough. What about Tay Taiwo? He was at QPR for a year.
The club says it all, really.
he didn't have a good spell there, and I think obviously when he was at Marseille again, he was predominantly a wing back, but when he went to QPR, he was playing fullback,
mm-hmm.
and that really didn't suit him. And you just kept seeing him he kept getting caught out. So yeah, I wouldn't have him up there.
Okay, well, for left back, how about Quinton Fortune?
Ooh, that's a good shout.
That's a cracking shout. Because I was thinking about United players. I was like, man, we haven't had any Africans in defence till Bailly. And then I was like, and now you've said about Quinton Fortune. Yeah, that's actually, he was solid though.
Yeah, was he better than Baba Yara though?
Probably not. I mean, I remember when we signed him, it was after the treble season. Came in from Atletico Madrid.
Atletico Madrid.
He was a central midfielder. And when Queiroz came in as assistant, they kind of converted him to a left-back. Same we did with Kieran Richardson, really. Shows how desperate we were for a left-back back then. And then Evra came in and that changed everything. But, yeah, it's a difficult one. But I think Babi Yaro will probably edge it.
Yeah, I'll give it to
Bobby. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Right, central defenders, there's a lot of them to go through. Okay, let's see. Who shall we start with? Blimey, it's a difficult one. Let me think. Who have we got? Hit me, guys.
Colo.
What do you think? Colo Touré, yeah? Colo Touré's one?
Yeah.
Redibi?
Yeah.
Lucas... Mate, that defender, wow.
He was immense.
I was thinking about Desailly today, because Desailly, when Ghana won the World Cup, this guy was talking about us. I remember that he is Ghanaian, but then I realised he's a Ghanaian posing as a Frenchman. So I can't put respect on his name. My Darren from Free Midfield also said it to me one day, because we were watching the game together. He was talking about all the Ghana fans celebrating on the streets and all that stuff, and Darren was like, yeah, you're saying all this, but you went to go and play for France, so, you know, bun you. I used to love him though, but yeah, he posed as a Frenchman, so I can't respect him.
No love whatsoever there.
But yeah, Renee played for Leeds, what, 10 years?
Yeah, about that. Long time was at Leeds. I don't think he won the league title with them. I think that was Chris Fairclough and Chris White at centre back. But he came in the early years of the Premier League, and he did fantastic.
Absolutely, he was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
What about Joseph Yobo? He was good at Everton, wasn't he?
Yeah, I've got him down as he was good. He was really good. Yeah.
Someone mentioned Taribo West, but a year at Derby County and probably the worst Premier League side to ever.
at least points wise, but Huddersfield at the moment are pushing them close for goals scored in a Premier League season.
Blimey!
So they might possibly have the worst goal scoring record in the Premier League.
Ooh, do you know what? Going back to fullbacks, remember Habib Bey?
Habib Bey. Who did he play for?
Newcastle and Villa.
Ah, yeah. Ooh, okay. Oh, he used to score some sumptuous goals, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was he right or left?
I think he was a right back. I'm pretty sure.
He was a right footed left back as well, wasn't he? And he played. Did he play for Villa as well?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, central defenders then. What about Radhi Jaidi? That's at Bolton and Birmingham. He weren't too bad, was he?
And Southampton as well.
Southampton? Yeah, probably.
Bolton, yeah. I remember most of his time at Bolton, he was really good there. Very, very good. Was his partner Campo at the time?
Yeah, you're probably right, actually. Or was it, did he come after Campo?
I don't remember.
Might be Hierro.
Oh, yeah. That was the retirement home, wasn't it? Bloody hell.
See, there's a lot of central defenders to think about, man.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to left backs, what about Asu Okoto?
Oh,
he got into porn after this, didn't he?
I did like Asu Okoto. I did like it.
What annoyed me about him was he came out and he said he doesn't really have a passion for football. It's one of those things where when he feels like he wants to play, he will play great. And that's the thing. When he played well, he was brilliant. But most of the time, he wasn't on it. And it was. And then when you hear that, it's like, okay, so you did it because, yeah, I've got talent for football, but when I want to play, I'll play good. And that's so disappointing because he could have gone down as a much better left back.
Yeah, he could have got a move to a bigger club. Like, considering Spurs were back then as well, man, like, he could have really made the step up for another club, but yeah, he couldn't be bothered.
Well, there was Harry Redknapp said that he was looking to become a porn star, innit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember that story.
So, yeah, can you imagine how that one would have turned out? Bloody hell. Crikey. What about central defender Christopher Samba? That was at Blackburn.
Okay.
The 2008 what's this guy called? Koulibaly. Oh yeah.
You still got your B in the money.
Yep. Koulibaly is 2018 Christopher Samba. Don't forget that. He was good actually. Samba was very for Blackburn. He was a monster.
Yeah.
He was monstrous.
But he was awful for QPR and Villa.
That was like the last move for Ben. When you go QPR, it's like you lose your powers and you just don't become anything anymore.
The club is all over the gaff, aren't they?
The funny thing is when it was round about the Mark Hughes era when he got in, wasn't he? Or was it Harry Redknapp or something? I can't remember. I think it might have been Harry Redknapp.
As big as Redknapp.
Yeah.
Round
about that time, I remember we used to call QPR the Raggy Dolls. I don't know if you guys are too young to remember this, but there was a show called The Raggy Dolls. It was a cartoon, actually. And it was about these dolls that were thrown in a reject bin, and then they came to life. And that's what we used to call QPR, because they always used to sign all of these, like, obscure players from out of nowhere. Yeah. I remember that season they signed Julio Cesar, they signed a whole bunch of players, you know, and it was just, it was terrible.
Crenshaw, Barton, they've bought loads of awful players.
I remember, was it, who was the defender they signed? Nader Manua. Wasn't he on, like, 80, 90 grand a week or something stupid
That's why he never wanted to leave QPR.
Yeah. I mean, they signed 25 players in the space of 2 years or something stupid. It was incredible.
Seriously?
Yeah. Because they had Neil Warnock, they had Mark Hughes, they had the whole lot. I mean, I remember they signed Djibril Cissé at one point.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, they had Jason Park.
Remember what's called Adil Trapp? Does anyone know where he's
on? last I heard, Adil Trapp was... Where was Trapp last time?
Trapp is now at Benfica. But he's in Benfica B, not Benfica.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Him and Hatem Ben Arfa made me so sad, man. Like, technically, they're so gifted, but just laziness and just not taking the opportunity seriously.
Yeah,
he played for Milan as well at one point.
Yeah. It's nuts.
I remember a story with Neil Warnock saying that they told him not to go in his own half. That's it, because they couldn't trust him to defend well.
To track back,
Stay in the opponent's half. And yeah, but the other message was give Tarek the ball every time.
Exactly. But that's the thing, he's got his only great season was QPR's promotion season.
Mm.
That's the highlight of his career. Like, And because he used to love smoking shisha, didn't he, as well? Yeah, yeah. Like, always on Edgware Road, right, with Ozil.
That's right. Oh, blimey, Jesus. Right, so central defenders then. So are we happy with Radebe? Is he one that...
I think we've got... Yeah, Lucas, definitely. And we've got to find his partner. So is it Kolo? I think it might have to be
Kolo. I think so. I mean, there are other ones, obviously, that we probably haven't even, you know, we've probably forgotten about, we haven't even mentioned, but it just goes to show that those two stand out so much that we can't really think of the others to step in.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one. It really is a difficult one. I mean, I can't really think of... have there been any Ghanaian central defenders? Off the top of my head, I can't really think of...
Mensah. Was it Mensah?
Yeah, we don't talk about him.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
Let's not go there. our probably legacy lies with SEO. We just keep him in our memory.
Fair enough. Okay, so we've gone with Radebe and Kolo Touré. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay. Now we're gonna go free in midfield, like the podcast that Kojo is on.
plug.
So okay. I have one off the top of my head, which I don't think you guys will disagree with. I think he's a Premier League legend and doesn't get the credit he deserves. And it's the other Touré. I think Yaya Touré.
Yeah. Sensational, man. Sensational. Absolutely immense player, man. And obviously the fact that he was, I think obviously you mentioned at the beginning, Snell, that obviously he was great before he came to the Premier League. And most people saw Man City as, he's just come in to just collect his 200 grand a week. But, I mean, three Premier League titles later, he's definitely one of the greatest Africans to grace the Premier League, 100%.
God, I remember that first title-winning season that City had. He was... You know, when they talk about having a spine, you have a goalkeeper, central defender, midfield and attacker. Yeah, City had Kompany, Yaya Touré, David Silva and Aguero. And if you took out Aguero, they'd struggle for goals, but it wouldn't be as much as, say, if David Silva was missing, because David Silva was that man that could, you know, ping balls left, right and centre. He was that creative spark. But again, when he was out, they wouldn't miss him as much as they'd miss, say, Vincent Kompany, because Vincent Kompany was that rock at the back. He kept that defence tight. But on the flip side, because they were so good at going forward... If they didn't have Yaya Touré, you feel you have more of a chance if he wasn't playing than the other three. He was, you know what, he was such a fantastic footballer. I remember, again, that title running, they had Newcastle. I think we drew with Everton at home? Well, we drew with Everton at home, the 4-4.
Yeah, Everton 4-4.
That's right. And then they went to St. James's Park the next day, and you just knew that he was going to turn.
Gonna clap them.
Mate, and he was just ridiculous.
Did he get two... Was it
scored twice that day?
Because I always get some of the seasons mixed up, because I remember there was a season we weren't really chasing City, but I think 13-14, there were two games in the space of like 5 days where I think they went to Newcastle and I think they beat Newcastle 2-0 and I think Touré got both goals.
Yep, that's in 2012. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the 13-14. Was it 13-14? Was that the season? 11-12.
11-12, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, and then obviously, I think they played Aston Villa the following, a few days later, and the rain's driving down, and he scores a goal where I think he carries the ball from his own half.
Yeah.
And he just, the two or three players tried to pull him down, he just leaves them for dead. Like, just shows you the strength of the man. But I think his footwork is just so underrated, man. He was so graceful with the ball. In any condition, he could just whip the ball top bins.
Yeah. And the fact that they only signed it for 24 million. 24 million these days. What does that get you? What does it get you?
It gets you a rubbish player.
But he was elite. I mean, and the worst thing about it is, when you talk about great, an all-time great Premier League 11, people are going to talk about Gerrard, Scholes, Keane, Vieira. And he's always like 7th or 8th on that list. And I'm thinking, he did a lot more than Steven Gerrard did in the Premier League, didn't he? Let's be fair, he won it for a start.
Well, three times.
Yeah, he didn't fumble it or slip. Okay, anyway.
So is he one that's definitely nailed on to get that position?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Can't disagree, can we? I don't think anyone can disagree, nah, to be no, fair. If anyone does disagree, then they need to listen to another podcast. But, yeah. Okay, so we've got one central midfielder. Gents, what have we got for other ones? What have you got written down?
I got Uncle Essien.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that one.
Yeah,
put it that way.
I knew Essien was ready for anything when he came into the pitch, shirt tucked in, hair unbrushed, all of that stuff, no comb, no nothing, just ready to do raw. They called him the bison, the energy, off the box, tackling, shooting. The goal against Arsenal rattled me. just the technique and the strike. I mean, he was almost a complete midfielder. Like, he was just so good to watch. And he was probably the second most important part of the spine at Chelsea alongside Lamps. And he obviously had Terry, Drogba completing the set, and then obviously Petr Cech. He was brilliant, man. I loved him. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was so good, man. And that day you scored that goal against Arsenal, I was listening to that game on the radio, and that day when Chelsea, because I think that game they drew 1-1, I think.
Yeah.
And you heard the commentator just say, like, when Essien hits the ball, you can't see the goal. How did that go in? And every time you watch the whip he got on that ball, man, Essien was just, he was immense, man. And to be honest, that's one of the few transfers during that period of time where Chelsea were really powering up with Peter Kenyon. Because I think they got Mikel, they got Essien. But obviously, United they proper wanted Essien. And then when Chelsea signed him, I was absolutely gutted because he would have been. If the fact that they got Essien, and I think we later ended up getting Carrick, I think, instead. Yeah. So, yeah, Essien was absolute powerhouse, man. Magnificent player.
There you go. I don't know. I hate to admit this, but there's a player called Momo Sissoko. I don't know if you remember him. He was at Liverpool.
Yeah.
And he was the man that would just break everything up in midfield. He would just stop everything.
He used to do scissor tackles, man.
he was a good player. I liked him. I mean, there's been other ones like central midfielders. I mean, look at Alex Song. How about him?
Yeah.
He really came on leaps and bounds in the last few years at Arsenal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was good as well. Especially his link-up with RVP. At some point, it became like a trademark between the two of them.
Oh, that's that season. Whew. The little loops and dinks from Song were just magnificent. I can't remember that goal that RVP scored where basically Song's just on, like, maybe inside left of midfield, and I think he just dinks it. Van Persie left foot corner of the box, right into the other side.
Everton,
yeah. Sensational goal.
Well, what about John Obi Mikel?
That was going to be my shout.
He's on my list as well.
That's my guy.
Because I remember when United signed him for £4.5 million, and then he was wearing the United shirt, and then a few weeks later he decided he wanted to go to Chelsea, and he got his move, and a lot of Chelsea fans really, really rate him. And when he left, many of them, in fact, most of them, were quite gutted to see him go. And the fact that he didn't start off really well when he first joined the club, and he progressed into this really dominant force in the middle of the park, very intelligent. I mean, was it the under 21s that he excelled at for Nigeria? I believe, I can't remember. But he did really well in one competition.
He did really well in one of the youth tournaments. And I kind of think because funnily enough, there was like a debate on the timeline. I'm just trying to get up some tweets, but people were saying that he didn't really fulfill his potential at Chelsea. But then, if you remember, like, he played for Chelsea for close to a decade.
Yeah.
Made 250 appearances, 2 Premier League titles, 3 FA Cups, Champions League, Europa League. He also captained Nigeria, won the African Cup of Nations. Like, John Obi Mikel has had a great career, man.
Honestly, yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that whole he didn't fulfill his promises because he was playing as an attacking midfielder beforehand, wasn't he?
Yeah,
and you know, in this day and age, everyone just looks at stats. So because he didn't score that many goals for Chelsea, they're thinking that like, he didn't.
I think he got six overall.
But he scored but he scored like one this season. It used to be like a miracle because that Mikel don't score. But he was so calm and relaxed on the pitch, like he was a composure kind of thing. You know how we. Like United would use Carrick as
the water carrier.
He'd calm it down and we get back in our rhythm, and that's what he will do for Chelsea. And it's so underrated. He's quite disrespected in terms of when we're talking about midfielders, because sure he won't be in the same bracket as Yaya and Vieira and Scholes and Giggs and Gerrard and all those guys there. But in terms of his overall quality. Man, I used to love him so much. And when we first lost him, because I didn't know much about him, and I saw how he struggled, as Stel said at the beginning, I thought, yeah, we haven't really missed out on much. But year by year, he just got better and better. And I was like, this guy he's excellent, man, honestly.
Yeah, I was fuming when United lost him, because I was just like, we signed the guy. We literally signed the guy. Like, I was just like, how is it possible that we've allowed him to go to Chelsea? He was a fantastic player, and again, a lot of these players like the Carricks and the Mikels, because they're not fashionable, they're just not in high regard, but no like elite team functions without them. Like you take those players out of the team, like, you know, the Fernandinhos would be your modern days. As much as people get on the back of Jorginho, he does the same thing for Chelsea, even a so-called struggling team.
Yeah.
So that player is required, especially in this modern day.
Yeah, I think Mikel was very mobile as well. He wasn't one of these players where he'd be a bit, you know, slouch. He'd be dithering on the ball. You know, he was very quick to release the ball, knew exactly when to play it. And he was that protection in front of the back four. They talk about Makelele being the best in that position. Well, okay. I wouldn't say that Obi Mikel was that kind of midfielder where he would sit and protect the back four and be this tough tackling central midfielder. But what he would do, as you guys said with Michael Carrick, he was able to release the ball. He was able to play a 20-yard square ball. He was able to play the ball forward. He knew the pitch very well. And, you know, it's just a shame that we didn't see him play in an advanced position at Chelsea. But then again, when you look at the array of talent they had at the time, you know, especially going forward, it's very difficult. I mean, there's one player we didn't mention that was actually at Chelsea at the same time, Kalou.
I've got him further down on my list in terms of attacking players.
Okay, fair enough. Well, what about Marc Vivien Foe?
Oh yeah.
See, I didn't really watch him, so I couldn't say.
He was a good player. I don't think he was a special talent, but he was good. He was a good passer. His IQ on the pitch was good. That's why I admired about him more than anything. The way he could read the game. He was in right positions. That's either defensive-wise or in control of possession. Compared to what we have spoken about and maybe some others, I wouldn't put him high up on the list.
Okay, fair enough. I was just throwing out names just to make it a bit interesting. Excellent. Okay, so... three central midfielders, then. We're definitely sticking with Yaya Toure, then. Are we going to go with the two Chelsea boys?
I think so.
Yeah.
Essien and...
Yeah. And Mikel, yeah. I think... Because when I try to do his all-time Premier League 11s, I try to make them also a functioning team. Because sometimes I think, yeah, it would be good, obviously, to have all of these names, but if you were to put them on the pitch, would they really work? But I think this sort of blend... of, like, you know, you could probably have Mikel at the base, then you could have Yaya Toure and Essien on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know I mean, so, but yeah.
Are you doing well at your Premier League fantasy football?
Yeah.
You well, are.
I'm trying to. I'm at the top of my own league.
Ah, okay.
And I'm trying to beat the others in the other one.
See, this is. I thought you made that same mistake in your Premier League dream team, because what I used to do, if I was playing a 4-4-2, for example, I'd have to have a right back at right back, I couldn't put like a central defender for the points. But nowadays, I'm like, you know what? I'm playing three defenders, and I'm gonna try and get all three of them to be fullbacks
because out of position defenders. So defenders that like playing midfield or something. Like remember when Victor Moses had that amazing season under Conte?
Yeah,
he was like, amazing asset in fantasy football.
Yeah. There you go. Well, look, people are going to say to us, well, why didn't you choose JJ Okocha in that midfield role? And can we agree, or maybe this is just me being slightly controversial or contrary. I mean, he wasn't outstanding at Bolton in comparison to when he was in Germany and Paris Saint-Germain, you know, in France for Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah,
is this something that you guys agree or disagree with?
He had moments. He wasn't consistent. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I know people love to be like, "Oh, he was so good, they named him twice." You know, but
really, more like Jemba Jemba.
But I mean, he wasn't like. I mean, I remember one moment where Okocha made me say, "Wow!" was when I think he was Bolton were playing United, and he flicked the ball over Roy Keane's head.
Was it Roy Keane? Was it Ryan Keown? Wasn't it Keown they did it to on the touchline? I don't think there's that one,
but I think he did it to Keane as well.
Do you really think he had the balls to do that to Roy Keane?
I think so. I'll
you know what I love about JJ respecting no one. Everyone could get it.
I'm gonna have to find this video, man. It's got to be somewhere. Someone's probably got it somewhere.
I'll find it for you, though. I'll find it for you. I'll send it to the group.
If he's had the nerve to flick it over Roy Keane's head, then more power to him. I remember him doing a John O'Shea on the touchline because John O'Shea had no chance against a skillful. But then again, O'Shea nutmegged Figo, so. Yeah, that's another story. That's our midfield three. But then again, when you look at other attacking players from, you know, that region, you've got, remember Ali Benabia, the Algerian that was at Man City?
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Ali Benabia was good. What about Riyad Mahrez? He won the Player of the Year, didn't he?
Mahrez, yeah, his Leicester stint was great, but obviously now I see he's struggling big time, which is kind of sad to watch, really. I mean, he's so good technically, man. So good.
Mm.
So good.
So I guess we're going to stick with that three then, because we can't really think of anyone else that's close to that, really.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, here we go. I found the... Oh, wow. No. Okay, so he flicked it over on David Beckham making the challenge, dinked it over Ray King's leg making the challenge, and then flicked it over his head.
Jesus.
Unreal.
Yeah, it was an amazing piece of skill.
You have to find that, or just send it to me on WhatsApp or something, man.
But no, yeah.
I
know you,
yeah, I found it on Twitter, so I'm gonna tag you both in.
Nice.
excellent. Okay, so we've got our three. So we've got a goalkeeper. We've got our two central defenders. Have we decided on the left back? Is Baba Yara the one?
Yeah.
Is he the one?
I think so.
So the right back slot, is that still up in the air, or are we going to be happy with Lauren?
I'm going Lauren. Yeah,
let's go with Lauren.
I'll go with the majority then. Majority of vote wins. It's ain't Brexit, but you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to go protesting about it or anything. Get a million people in London about the right back slot. Yeah. Although it's probably more, it will be a more interesting one. You see people from Cameroon, you know, saying, yeah, he should be the number one right back. Let's go for that one. Okay, so we've got Grobbelaar in goal, back four of Lauren, Kolo Touré, Lucas Radoy, and Baba Yara. Three in midfield, we have Yaya Touré, Obi Mikel, and Essien. Okay. Now, the front three. Shall we make it obvious? I don't think we can disagree that Drogba should be there.
Drogba's the man. There's no two ways about it.
What did you guys make of Drogba when he first joined Chelsea? Because I remember when they signed him from Marseille, he had that fantastic season. They won the UEFA Cup or the Europa League, whatever they call it now. And he started off a bit slow, didn't he? But once he got into his groove, so to speak, there was no stopping him.
Yeah. 100%, because I can't remember what the stats were, but I think he got, was it 9 Premier League goals or something in his first season? I don't think he reached double figures, but I think the following season, I think he got 19 or 12 or 26 or something ridiculous. Anyway, that the improvement was absolutely massive. But again, like Drogba was everything to Chelsea. He wasn't like a super prolific goal scorer. He wasn't like 20 goals a season, 5 seasons in a row type of guy. But what he was that he did get double figures every season, I believe, after that. But then he would also get the clutch goals. Do you know what I mean? So he was just a troublemaker. Like, and I was saying it to Coach Kojo that, like, when Drogba was on the pitch, like, for me, like, when a player leaves the Premier League and then comes back and then does it again and wins the title, for me, that I hold Drogba in high regard because of stuff like that. Like, he tormented Arsenal on several occasions. He had a period for a long time where he didn't score against Manchester United. And then I think he started to get his goals against us. And, you know, there was the goal against us where Chelsea beat us 2-1 in Carlo Ancelotti's season.
Or the offside one.
The offside one. Yeah. And then obviously he scored the winning goal in the FA Cup final in 2008?
Yep. 2008, yeah, when he dinked it over the keeper. And he scored the winning penalty in the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, yeah.
What about that goal against Liverpool? Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah, what is that, the one where he chests it and then swivels?
Yeah.
Oof. Do you know what's actually quite funny? That, you know, Aubameyang's goal versus Spurs kind of reminds me of that, where you take the shot so quickly that the keeper can't really set themselves, and it just goes in so quick that you just think, nah, that's actually an unstoppable goal.
Yeah. You know, my favorite Drogba goal was the one against Everton when Shevchenko headed it on.
Oh,
and he touched it. That goal! My goodness! You know, I when I scream at a goal, I know the goal's special. I literally lost my head because I went to my uncle's and it was on Sky Sports, and you know, it was a tough game. Everton were giving it to them as well, and it's just a long ball, and then Shevchenko does it, and he chest controls it, and his back is still to goal, and he
controls
his whole body, and the shot, the way the ball moved. The ripple in the net, and it was also central as well when it went into the back of the net. I was just like, wow, this is wow, what a goal.
I don't know. You know when he celebrated that goal? Was that when he goes, I'm back?
Or something? Yeah, when he did that long knee slide.
Yeah. I'm back. Oh man, Drogba, clutch, man.
Well, there was that goal he scored against Bolton from like 35 yards out, where he just absolutely thumped it.
Oh yeah.
Dangerous guy.
Classy goals.
A lot of them. I remember there was wasn't it against Hull, like on the opening day? It was like literally on the touchline, on the byline, and he's kind of hit it with the I wouldn't say the outside, but kind of like his little toe. He's kind of like toed on the ball when it's kind of spun over the goalkeeper and going into the top corner.
Yeah, the commentator tried to say that he tried to cross it.
Nah.
So annoying. It was a brilliant goal. It was actually a brilliant goal. And it was the winner, like 90th minute or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It was quite late, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I think he scored against Spurs. League Cup? Jose's second spell there. I think his second spell there as well. He just walloped it. I can't remember.
I can't remember that one.
He scored loads of goals. But, you know, there was that equaliser in the Champions League final and then the winning penalty. And the thing is, I can't remember. Did he win the African Cup of Nations? Because I remember didn't he miss the penalty?
No, he didn't. So, Yaya Toure won it as captain, but Drogba left the year before.
Did he miss a penalty in the final? I can't remember. My memory.
I think he did against Zambia. Was it against Zambia?
Right.
I think he missed the penalty. Yeah.
Right.
So in a sense, I kind of feel sorry for Drogba in that respect, because he wasn't the curse, but he's kind of like Michael Ballack in some ways, because he's kind of got that curse attached to him, because every, you know, throughout his, obviously the Ivory Coast team was a generational team. When you look at the roster of individuals that they had in that team, with the likes of Didier Zakora, Yaya Toure, Kolo Toure, Drogba. They had so many players, especially giving their trades out in a lot of the top leagues. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as Drogba retires, that's when they go on and eventually win the African Cup of Nations. So.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Good shout. Right, another one I would just want to throw in the hat here. Kanu.
Yeah. Yep, he's in.
Yep.
He's in as well.
Definitely going in. Definitely going in.
What can you say about Kanu, Koja?
Man, the grace, even though we still don't know how old he is. his ball control, for someone so tall and kind of skinny and, you know, it looked like he didn't have great balance, but his ball control, feels deceptively quite quick. His finishing at Arsenal, I mean, I hated him. He was second on my list of enemies after Thierry Henry at Arsenal. I used to hate him so much, but the part of the hate came from jealousy, because those are the two players, not even Bergkamp, those are the two players that I'd say, oh, I went at my club, because he was brilliant. And my dad used to always talk about, my dad's a strong United fan, but obviously when an African player comes here and excels, it makes him so excited. And for a year upon year, he just talked about the goals against Chelsea. You know, it was just so brilliant. Well, that's why it upset me when there was a period of time where people used to give Kanu a bit of, I would call it corn if you want to. And I'm kind of happy that Twitter wasn't really big at that time. I'm so happy. Remember that miss? Remember when he was playing for West Brom and he missed, like, on the line?
Oh, yeah. That was, that's one of the shockers.
Hey. I remember watching that. I was like, how? Kanu, how is that? It makes sense, because you're on the line. Surely, if it's even going to go up, it has to go into the roof and then it's surely. But yeah, no, he was exceptional, man. He was exceptional. He was loved by every coach. Not because like he was a player that would smile, and because he was actually good. He was quality.
Yeah.
When you've got such a quality player in aspects of technique and just knowing how to play the role of a striker, he was exceptional to watch.
Yeah. I mean, he even had, like, because I think my earliest memories of Kanu were, I think, the Olympics in 96.
Ah, yes.
Because that was, like, my first, like, proper, my first Olympics, first proper football tournament that I followed. Absolutely amazing for Nigeria that time round. Then, obviously, he's at Arsenal. He obviously went to, like, Pompey, West Brom, and did really well. No, he wasn't a prolific striker because he was sort of a number 10. As opposed to like a penalty box striker.
Yeah.
But he just had silky. He's like the Nigerian version of Berbatov. Like,
yeah.
For me, like, yeah. Just got,
the ball stuck to his feet. It was like Velcro,
stuck,
mate.
His feet, man. Like, Velcro. You think about that hat trick when Arsenal were 2-0. Was it 2-0 down against Chelsea?
That's right,
yeah. Yeah, and it comes on, and the third goal, like, to win it was like an impossible angle, but yet he was the one who was able to finish it off. Like, so again, like, an amazing player. Like, and I think obviously as well, he had I'm not sure if it was when it was at Arsenal, but he had a heart complication as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Inter.
Because I think his heart was beating slowly or something like that. So
was it Inter? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was at Inter Milan, yeah.
Or was it Inter Milan?
Yeah, he only played over like 12 or so games for them. And then,
okay.
Obviously, yeah, he was sold to Arsenal straight after, well, after he came back, able to play, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, so he even came back after that and was still able to have, like, a stellar career. So, yeah, man. Shouts to Kanu, man. Definitely get on this.
And the type of goals he scored, I'll never forget. There was one against Middlesbrough where he's back-heeled it. I don't even remember. They battered them 6-1. I think it was at the Riverside.
But yeah, yeah, yeah.
The ball's
yeah.
being whipped in and he's just back-heeled that. And it was just bottom corner. There was a goal against Deportivo La Coruña in the Champions League where he sold the dummy on the goalkeeper on the edge of the six-yard box. He's just rolled it in. The guy was just... He was a different class, man. He was a different class. And I think he was slightly unfortunate to be at Arsenal at the same time as Henry and Bergkamp and all these other players, because they got a lot of the plaudits, you know. But that goal against Spurs, remember, he flicked it over the defender's head and he volleyed
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many of them. There's so many of them. You can think... I mean, I'm going to have to find, like, a showreel of them, because he was just so good, man. So good.
Yeah, you'll probably find one on YouTube.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
You know, how did his that's the one thing I never think about him was his goals drying up, because obviously maybe because of the operator, well, I don't know. Because at Ajax, his goal record was quite good, wasn't it? Like, it was like 1 in 2 or so, wasn't it? I mean,
Let's do the Googles.
I'm gonna do it now. I've got it up.
Let's think while he does that. Let's think of some other attacking players, because Yakubu was fantastic, wasn't
it? Yeah, I've got Yakubu down as well.
He did extremely well at Everton. He did well. Where was he? Where else was he? There's a couple of others. Wasn't Everton, he a Reading? Yeah, Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, yeah. So Everton, Portsmouth, Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was amazing. But again, he had one of the most horrendous misses at, was it World Cup 2010?
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, when he started.
The one against Greece? Was it against Greece?
Yeah, he missed it. I remember that.
Yeah, absolutely awful. Crikey. Misses.
Crikey.
But yeah, you're right, Kojo, about Kanu. 54 appearances for Ajax, right. 25 goals. Inter Milan, yeah, only 12 appearances, 1 goal. Arsenal, nearly 120 appearances, 37 goals. Yeah, it did start to tail off after that, to be honest. Mm.
Elad Diouf.
Ooh.
Ah, the spitter. The wonderful spitter.
Well, Benny McCarthy was at Blackburn and West Ham for a bit.
I love Benny McCarthy, man, especially at Porto.
Mm.
He was good. Oh, I'm quite
Adebayor, yeah.
I've got him down as well.
Jovinho, he was a good one.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Jovinho.
Jovinho.
Oh, yeah, Jovinho.
Yeah, you got Daniel Amakachi.
Oh, yes.
At Everton.
I remember that FA Cup semi-final against Spurs at Ellen Road. He absolutely tore him a new one.
he's the only player to sub himself onto the pitch.
Brother, I remember. I can't remember which commentator or which pundit it was. It was a co-commentator, and they said they should call him "Can You Catch Me" because you're so quick. Yeah,
that's a brilliant one.
Can you catch me? I can't remember. It might have been Terry Venables, actually. I need to look at this one. I need to look into this one, actually, because that blew my mind. I was like 14 at the time. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Demba Ba.
Papi Cisse.
Papi Cisse, yeah.
Benjani.
Oh, yes.
I didn't get to watch him. I've only seen his volleys. Was Tony Yeboah actually that good, or was it just the volleys that got everyone excited?
Well, I'll tell you what I remember from Tony Yeboah. First of all, I didn't really know much about him. He came from Eintracht Frankfurt, I think.
Frankfurt, yeah.
I didn't know too much about him, because back then Leeds had... They got rid of Cantona at the time, I think. I think Eric had left, but they had like Lee Chapman, and they had Phil Masinga and all these other players who you probably wouldn't know about because you're too young to remember. But that goal against Liverpool, I was in Cyprus, and I was watching it with my cousin, and when he hit it, I was like... What the fuck was that? Honestly, I just couldn't. There's always something special about a goal when it hits the underside of the bar and it just bounces up and goes in.
There's the crack, man.
That's it. And that was the winner as well. But then he did it against Wimbledon with the ball. And it was a horrible pitch as well. That was a really bad pitch. It was a really bad pitch. And the bobble, when he controlled it with his knee, he just walloped it. He was a fantastic striker, but the problem is he wasn't consistent, and that's the thing. I mean, he wasn't like a thunder bastard merchant kind of thing. You know, he was a good player, but I just think that he was unlucky. I don't know exactly what happened to him. I don't know whether it was injuries or whether it was just one of those.
The thing is, I was checking this a few months ago, and if you look at his actual record, he was pretty much 1 in 2 across his whole career.
Oh, Christ.
So he does have a good goal scorer record, but as you were saying, Stel, probably it's the fact that he probably wasn't getting, you know, maybe he'll get a hat trick and then he'll go off the ball for 6 or 7 games, you know. So he could be that sort of striker.
Yeah.
But I think he definitely did peak at Leeds. But then don't think he did much after that. But he's got a record even after in other countries was still quite good.
True.
Are we going to talk about the real criminal?
Who?
Ali Dia.
Oh. That, see, this is the thing. This is why Graham Souness is so pissed off. Because of Ali Dia, that's why.
So you might be onto something.
Because
you know?
Ali Dia. Because is Graham Souness a guy that's won...
We need to do a Twitter thread.
Reasons why Graham Souness is pissed off. One, because he signed Phil Babb at Benfica. Two, because he signed Dean Saunders at Benfica. Three, because he signed David Burrows at Benfica. I'm fucking...
Oh man,
I'm pretty sure he signed David Burrows at Benfica. Did he sign David Burrows? I need to Google this right now.
Yeah, you need to Google that one.
David Burrows, footballer.
Yeah.
How was man. I know he's
he didn't he good. Didn't he didn't phew whew.
The first African to score in the Premier League was Peter
Love.
Was he good?
Pierre Unlove was a fantastic footballer.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Fantastic.
He was Zimbabwean.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
he was good. He was a good striker. Yeah.
But yeah, Pierre Unlove was very underrated. I mean, so was Phil Masinga. So was Sean Bartlett. Sean Bartlett was.
Oh,
Charlton. Ah. Wow. Ah. You're reading off the names, man.
There you go. But there's other ones. I mean, people are going to say to us, "Oh, why don't you choose Samuel Eto'o and why don't you choose George Weah?" But we can't because they were already established.
Great,
yeah. I think
Minucho.
Oof. Christ. Wow. If that didn't smack of bung, I don't know what does. Honestly, Bebe was bad.
Mambiram Diouf.
Ouch. Although he did score on his debut.
Sykes Ferguson, Sykes on stinkers, didn't he?
Oh, didn't he start scoring? He scored on his debut, though.
Jemba Jemba.
Woo!
Why do we put Jemba Jemba in our midfield?
Listen, Jemba Jemba, I'm not going to cuss the guy because he was doing really well up until he had a good game against Porto in the Champions League where we got knocked out. But he wasn't 100% fit because he came back from international duty a couple of weeks before that with an injury. And I think that's what started it all off. In terms of his downfall, and to be fair on the guy, I mean, Christ, I mean, Roy Keane wasn't the Roy Keane we remember, and then he had Cleberson in the middle of the park with him, so he didn't really stand much of a chance. To be fair, but yeah, what about Mido?
Yeah, Mido. He had quite a few spells.
He was at Spurs. He was at Middlesbrough. He was at Wigan. He was at West Ham. Mm.
He wasn't a bad player. That's all.
Nah.
But there was I think I saw something maybe a few months ago that Mido was one of the highest paid players or something when he was in the Premier League or maybe a few years ago. But his wages were astronomical.
Yeah. I think
maybe one club or something. I can't remember what I saw.
I think he had enough money to pay his own wages, to be honest.
Wow.
Didn't he come from like a really rich background, like Viali and Kaká? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's all we're about. Mad. I'll throw another name in, which you guys probably don't remember because you're probably too young. Neil Lamptey.
Nope. Over my head. Sorry.
Neil Lamptey was fantastic. He was attacking player, kind of like Pierre Unlove, really, but very tricky, skillful. Play for Villa, play for Coventry. We're talking about the mid-90s here. So yeah, Neil Lamptey was a fantastic one. Do you know who we didn't mention from a midfield role?
Who?
Sully Mansari.
Ah.
Oh yeah, Pompey.
Instrumental in the FA Cup success.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Mansari was a good player. He was a good player.
But he was better at Inter though, I think.
You reckon?
Did you say? I don't know. He won the Champions League there. Maybe I'm just judging it on trophies.
Alright, so who's going to get that final attacking role? Because I'm seeing people on Twitter saying, you know, Salah and Mane, and for me they haven't done enough.
No.
In fact, they haven't done anything.
Not yet. I mean, if we were to do this in a few years' time, I guess that's the hardest thing with football, because the game's always constantly moving on. Like, but yeah, I wouldn't have Salah or Mane there just yet.
Let's just hope that Mane goes to Madrid and City win the league. Then we don't have to consider it.
So who's going to get that final striker's spot?
So we've got Drogba and Carney, right?
Yeah.
Who could we give it to?
Diamante Camara? Just for that overhead kick against Spurs?
Do you know who we forgot? Asamoah Gyan.
For those 2 years at Sunderland,
I just refuse to talk about him. You guys can talk about him, I'll stay silent.
I think maybe the top contenders might be for me Adebayor or Yakubu, I would say. Oof. To get that final spot.
Yeah, I mean Yakubu joined Portsmouth when he came to England, I think it was
Everton, wasn't it? Everton, where he went from Maccabi Haifa, I think.
I
think you might be right.
No, was it Middlesbrough?
Was Portsmouth, yeah, Portsmouth, then Middlesbrough, then Everton. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, can't remember he was doing great things in Division 1, came Premier League and started tearing up as well, didn't he? Because Sats Ferguson faced him. Was it in Europe or...?
Yeah, he scored a hat-trick for Maccabi Haifa against us. It was actually in Cyprus because I think they had problems in Israel.
Yeah, you couldn't play in Israel. I would give it to Adebayor because he did have that, was it 20-plus goals in the season for Arsenal after Henry left?
Yeah, he was. Arsenal was really good.
And obviously...
He did Spurs as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he played for Spurs, played for Man City, so...
Oh, yeah, you know what? Just for that celebration, yes. Yeah. You forgot about that. Yeah, when he said City, you all came flooding back.
He wasn't at Palace as well.
That's the one time I celebrated a City goal, because I was waiting for that moment. And he delivered in full. Yeah, Adebayo for me.
He was at Palace as well, wasn't he?
Oh yeah. Did he only got like one goal for them, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Stupid like that. Yeah.
So we're not going to put TT Camara in that list, no?
Nah.
We're not going to put...
Who did Henri Camara play for?
Henri Camara.
I think it was...
Did he used to wear that wristband when he was playing football?
Yeah. He was Cameroonian. Cameroonian, I think.
Yeah, he played in the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
Was he? You're talking about the guy that was at Wigan?
The Wigan,
yeah.
He was at Wigan, wasn't he? And then he went to West Ham for a bit. He's from Senegal.
Senegal.
Because I remember he ended up playing in Greece. Don't know why. money must have been good if there was any there. I don't know. What about Bonny? Bonny really hit the ground running at Swansea, didn't he?
Was it 2 seasons at Swansea or 1 season?
Yeah, I think two seasons.
I know you guys mentioned him on the show the other day. What was he doing with himself now anyway? Like, I'm not asking that you guys know him personally. I'm just saying, does anyone know what's happening to him? Like,
Wilfred Bonny?
Yeah.
He went back to, what's it called? Swansea.
But it's not like, I think he might be still there.
No, I remember they loaned him out, but I can't remember where to. It's definitely one of those Al Southwick clubs. Well, I don't know who.
So let me check. I'm just pulling it up now. So he's currently playing. Oh, he's playing in Sparta Prague. No, not Sparta Prague. Al Arabi.
Qatar.
He's playing in Al Arabi. He's on loan.
He's playing in Qatar.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, he's got three at the moment. So,
good for him. He's not doing too bad. When he came back to Swansea, he had 3 goals in general, so that's good. Good start.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow, but then again, to be fair, like Qatar's still a developing nation when it comes to football. And I know there's a few players that are playing out there, and you know they've got a link with some Brazilian clubs or something because what they're doing, they're nationalising players or something like that. What do they call them?
What, naturalising?
Naturalising, yeah, not nationalising them, whatever the fuck that means. Yeah, as you can tell, I don't know my English very well. There you go.
It's all the Brexit
process. I'm going to be started on that. Oh, we forgot to mention Peter Odemwingie.
Oh, Mr. I'm going QPR.
I kind of felt sorry for him. Do you know that? Because
what's his name? John Salako.
John Salako, is it? He was English, man.
Ah, he's got a Nigerian name.
Oh, is that how we're going now? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're claiming them all now. Listen, you can't claim Desai. Kojo couldn't claim him. You can't claim.
I know.
So that's the 1-11. So we got what? We got Bruce Grobbelaar in goal. We got Lauren at right back. Kola Touré centre back. Lucas Radebe centre back. Left back. Celestine Babayaro. Free midfield. We have Mikel, Essien, and Yaya Touré. And up top, we've gone Drogba, Kanu, and Adebayor.
Yeah.
Correcto.
That's a pretty decent team.
Happy with that.
Pretty decent team. Yeah. I mean, we've missed out Lamana Lualua, and we've missed out Shola Amiobi.
Shola Amiobi, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I think Shola Am is actually keeping him relevant. Have you seen her on Twitter?
Who?
Shola Amma. Do you remember Shola Amma, the singer?
Yeah. She's buff, man.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I saw her at Koji Radical show in November. Man, she's... That's all I'm going to say, man. Just check her Instagram.
Let me WhatsApp you something right now. Hang about. To our listeners, I'm just sending a message to Iman and Kojo because I can't actually repeat it, and I'm probably going to forget. Select all, copy, send. Kojo, I'm sending it to you now.
Okay.
Wowzers.
And do you know how I know this? I'm not going to repeat what I've sent, but because I tweeted her some time ago, and the said gentleman messaged me saying, "Yeah, I did this and I did that."
Yeah. Wowzers.
So I promptly deleted that tweet.
Leader of men.
But to be fair, she's keeping Shola Amiobi relevant because every now and again she keeps saying, like, people keep calling me Shola Amiobi. So,
yeah.
She was a good singer. I remember the Garage Tunes. Run to
Me.
Yeah,
man, that's what I'm saying.
Run to Me was good, and there was obviously Imagine, which Imagine kind of blew her up, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But she didn't do much after, though. This is a bit of a shame.
Well, she did do lots, but we can't repeat a lot of the stuff there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, but yeah, hello, Shola, if you're listening. We love you, really. I'm just trying to think of any players that we can give an honourable mention to. There's Daniel Kuzan.
Let me just see if there's any that on my list that weren't mentioned.
Cheick Tiote, rest in peace.
Yeah, that's a good shot. Do you remember Joseph Desire Job?
Yes. Cameroon striker, right. Scored against us in the FA Cup, knocked us out.
Yep.
Bastard, I went to that game as well. That went pretty. Who else? We're not going to mention Naby Keita because, you know, I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't laugh.
Or Aubameyang.
Oh, blimey. Don't want to get them started. Crikey. Max Gradle. Max Gradle. He was half decent, and then he ended up in Saint-Étienne, I believe.
Yeah, he was good.
Christopher Ray, do you remember him?
Christopher who?
Ray, W-R-A-H.
Yeah, Arsenal.
Scored some important goals when they won the double in 98.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember one goal he scored against
Wimbledon. Brothers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what about Boateng?
Oh, who was that guy, Egyptian striker?
Amezaki.
Bringing him out now, eh?
Yeah.
Bring them out. Let me see, who else have we got? Odi Ighalo, he wasn't too bad at Watford, and then he ended up in China. Don't know what's happened to him now. Who's that, sorry?
Yeah.
Amati.
Yes.
Yeah, Ndidi, current ones. You got Doucouré.
Where's Amrabat from?
Amrabat.
Morocco, right?
Morocco, yeah.
Yeah, Moroccan, yeah.
What about John Utaka? Do you remember him?
Yeah. He was good. I liked him. Nigerian, yeah, he's good. He caused United a few problems in that FA Cup game at Old Trafford. Did he win the penalty?
I can't remember.
Not sure if he won the penalty.
Well, the one that knocked us out of the cup when they went on to
win.
I can't remember.
Or maybe he took the penalty, I can't remember.
Because it was Kushak in goal, wasn't he? He got sent off. And then Rio
went in. Rio had to go in.
Who's the guy that he plays for Everton? He's put up front with Lukaku under Martinez.
Oh, Kone.
Yeah.
Do you know who we didn't mention for an attacking midfielder?
Who?
Steven Pienaar.
Oh, yes. Yes.
How good was he?
He was quality.
No, he did well under David Moyes. You know, if you do well under David Moyes, then you know you got to be a half decent player.
Yeah, true. Diomi is another one we haven't spoken about.
Yeah, Sekou Kouyaté.
Ooh. Uncle Eric.
Yep. Bailly.
Bolasie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Going for some players now.
Wanyama's Kenyan.
Yeah, Kenyan.
That's right. El Mohammadi was quite decent at Sunderland.
Yeah, people did that.
You know, I thought you were about to say Oldenny.
Not much to really say there.
Well, there was John Pansil at West Ham, and I think he kind of mirrored his surname.
He used to do this funny thing. I watched it at West Ham once. I went to a game at Upton Park, and he was doing this thing where everyone, all the players going down the tunnel, and you have him running, win, lose or draw, he'll run around the whole pitch, clapping every single fan out there before he went back in. And I was like, bro, do you...
Well, half time?
Full time. Yeah, so everyone goes out, and then 90th minute, he's run for 90 minutes, and then he just walks around for a bit, and then he literally comes to the tunnel, but then stops. Doesn't feel like everyone's down the tunnel. He starts doing like a lap of honour.
Oh my days.
Literally clapping until he gets down through the tunnel when they don't see him again. It's like, it was funny to watch the time, to be honest.
I'll tell you, there's two footballers which I thought, well, I would say I thought, but they were really, really good at the old Championship Manager. Do you remember Isaac Okoronkwo? Do you remember him?
He was at
Wolves for about a year. And I remember on the old Championship Manager, he was bloody amazing at Shakhtar Donetsk, central midfielder. Yeah. And then he did absolutely nothing at
The name sounds familiar, but I can't put a face to it.
And there was another one, what's his surname? Ndiaye? I can't remember. N'Diaye. And he was at Sunderland Hull for a couple of
seasons.
Yeah, he was pretty decent on the old games. I think we need to do like a Championship Manager one with like all these old players that, you know, you signed that are obscure, but they did really well. You know,
Do you remember Ade Akinbaye?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Blimey.
What a powerhouse.
Do you think he could bench press more than, what's his name, Akinfenwa?
No chance. I hope not.
I actually saw Akinfenwa at a wrestling event some time ago, actually.
Yeah.
Wasn't he trying not to be like a wrestler?
Pass. That's quite hard.
I remember meeting him at Counterattack podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They did a live show and he was one of their guests.
Oh, nice.
Like, he's absolutely huge.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
I can't believe he plays football, man.
Do you know what? I forgot to tell you my car news story.
Go on.
Oh, okay, right. This is Jack and Ori, lads. Cross your legs and just listen to this one, right? Now, we're talking I want to say 2003, 2004. There used to be a nightclub around the corner from me called Eros. And I've mentioned it before on other shows, but anyway. And what we used to do, we used to finish from Eros and we used to drive to Southgate Underground Station because there was a kebab shop there called Southgate Kebabs, as you'd expect. And we're there, it must have been about 2-3 in the morning. And we're standing there eating and this beat-up Mercedes turns up. When I tell you beat-up, I'm thinking this is like what my old uncle would drive. You know, you just didn't take care of it. It just hadn't been washed for ages. The hubcaps were falling off. It was terrible. Carnu steps out with this woman. And the first thing I noticed was his sandals. I was thinking, rah, like, you got massive feet. Like, so he's walked in. He's ordered what he has to order. And we're standing there thinking, oh, it's just another footballer, whatever. And this one guy, must have been Greek, he's gone, Carnu, I love you so much. You're amazing. And Carnu's like, thank you. He can tell he just wants to get his food and leaves. Carnu, you're brilliant. And this is the killer. He turns around and goes, I've got an Arsenal shirt with your name and number on the back. Now, you knew straight away he was lying because that Arsenal team at the time, you wouldn't have thought that Carnu would be the first name he'd have on his shirt. He may have had Vieira, he may have had Henri, he may have had Bergkamp. Carnu wouldn't have been on that list, but the fact that Carnu was in that kebab shop at the same time as him, he just probably wanted attention or whatever. And no word of a lie, Carnu got in his car with his food, with his missus, and as he's driving off, the guy is chasing the car. He's chasing his car.
Oh, my days.
It was desperation, honestly. I mean, I don't think the guy was intoxicated. I really don't think he was because I don't know. But, yeah, and the other car news story is that I know that his house got broken into, Hadley Wood. And I think they tied up the cleaner.
And they, serious?
Yeah, I think so.
But quite a few players get burgled and stuff like that. But, you know, Lauren, apparently, when he was at Arsenal, his Rolex got stolen. And it was returned to him like 6 years later when he was in Greece, I think, or Spain or something like that. So, yeah, a lot of these crazy things happen.
Okay, there you go. Kojo, you got any funny stories relating to African footballers? Anything?
apart from watching John Pencil run around the pitch for 5 minutes, absolutely not.
Speaking of African football, just one more thing, lads. Have you seen that video that I put on Instagram with the challenge?
Oh, the karate kick.
Yeah, it was more like a spinning heel kick, wasn't it?
No, I've not seen this. I'm gonna go on Instagram later and check it out.
Yeah, so I think it was it Tanzania against Burundi, I think it was, or something. And the balls, this guy's flicked it. You know, like he's basically flicked it over the defender. He's scooped it over the defender. And the defender's gone, no, I'm not having this. And he does a roundhouse kick to the guy's throat. And as the guy's on the ground, he's stomped on his thigh.
Jeez.
So it's just like adding insult. It's like, nah, you're not going to do that to me, mate.
Yeah.
It must have been a spinning wheel kick. Oh, kind of like bad. Savio Vega would do, something like that.
Jeez.
But anyway. Right, that's it. That's our African 11. That's us reminiscing and getting a bit nostalgic at the same time and bring up interesting stories about kebab shops and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for your time, gentlemen. It's been an absolute pleasure having you guys on the show. Before I let you guys go, plug your shit.
Do you want to go on, Kojo?
Pardon? I didn't hear any of that, sorry.
Would you like to give your projects a mention?
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, I'll go. so, yeah, you know, Free Midfield podcast. It's been going well recently. We're just trying to keep growing and bringing a variety of guests. So yeah, you can follow us on Twitter, SoundCloud, all of that stuff, on FNX as well, part of the FNX family. Free in Midfield. Check us out, have a listen, subscribe, and if you ever want to come on, just drop us a message and we'll always let you on.
Excellent. I just want to give a quick shout out to Cahill, because I feel sorry for the guy, because I never mention him whenever you come on, and it's always like, yeah, Kojo from Three in Midfield, but there's also another guy, and you know, I could feel Cahill's pain, because you know, he does, you know, what's it called, the introductions, he's the narrator, so to speak, is the presenter, and you know, I don't think the guy gets enough credit for what you guys do. I'm not saying that you're kind of stealing the show here, Kojo.
No, you're absolutely right. Cahill does. He does. He's done so much for the podcast. You know, we started with I can't even call it a microphone. It was like a little recorder kind of thing that we plugged in by USB, and all three of us had to talk, like pretty much take turns and nodding our heads forward talking to it, and it was poor, but he has done so much. He's upped the quality of the podcast in terms of equipment and the delivery of the podcast. He's presenting. We use his place, and he's always welcoming. His family's always welcoming for us to use their place and have people over for the podcast. And he does all the
admin.
The admin stuff. That's the word. Yeah, the admin stuff. Admin and. He's great, man. And honestly, free midfield wouldn't be where it is without him. I do the talking, but it's just the talking, you know. He does so much for it, and yeah, man, so much.
It's a team effort, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Who's the third man, by the way? Because I don't know who the third person is on your show. It's always you and Kay.
it was Darren. It was all three of us. That's why free midfield was the name, and then. He got into a relationship and moved up north with her, so because she's from up north, so you know she won the war there. So he's in Manchester. She's in Manchester right now, but you know every time he's back in London, if he gets a chance, he always jumps on free midfield. That's how it began. So I guess now because he's not there, what we try to do is have a guest week by week or at least two, just to make sure free midfield makes sense. But once in a while, me and Kale like to do the just the two of us, you know, spend some quality time with each other talking about football. So,
there you go. Yeah. Excellent. Lovely. And Eman.
Yeah. So, yeah, my pod is at one up front, 4231. We sort of try to specialise in sort of niche football topics. As I was saying at the beginning of the show, we sort of changed the format now. So we kind of record together. So every Friday night, we just sort of come together and just have a butcher's and tried to kind of give a different angle or perspective on the latest going on in the football world. So yeah, just check us out. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere pretty much. So yeah, and we're going to be releasing like video content as well. Probably you'll see a clip on our latest show, and I'm going to release some more clips as the week goes by. But yeah, lots to do, man. So I'm really happy with where it's going, and yeah, really thankful for like FNX and all the partners that are really helping us push this. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, video content means a lot of editing, my friend. I hope you have 28 hours in a day, because I don't know how you're going to do it.
The thing is, all I'm doing is just noting down times and clipping stuff.
The hard work starts now, I tell you.
Trust me.
I feel your pain, but I don't envy you, to be fair. So. Well, gents, thanks again for your time. It's been a really good show. And I hope our listeners can contribute. If you want to get in touch with us, you can follow Kojo, you can follow E-Man, you can follow us on Twitter at Shoot Defence. Let us know your all-time African 11. As I said, don't put in these players that have done really well before coming to the Premier League. We want original stuff. We want reasons why you're putting these players. I don't want to see Samuel Eto'o in your team. I know Samuel Eto'o is a great player. He's a great player at Mallorca, he's a great player at Barcelona, great player at Inter. I don't want to know about Samuel Eto'o, the Premier League player. That's killed his legacy for me. It's hurt my feelings, you know? So yeah, give us some original players. Let us know what you think. I don't want to hear like Bruce Grobler's the only African goalkeeper. I'm sure there are other African goalkeepers that have kind of played one or two games in the Premier League. Or maybe not. I don't fucking know. Anyway, that's it. So guys, yeah, I've mentioned the Twitter. We've got a Facebook group page. Visit stadiumscene.tv if you'd like to know more about stadiums throughout the US. I mean, it's a fantastic website. You can look at reviews of certain stadiums within NBA, NFL, NASCAR. NASCAR, can you imagine? They've even got stadiums for people driving beat-up cars and crashing on each other. It's great, isn't it? Only in America. So, guys, till next time, adios.